One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
He said, I want you to keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Number one, do you believe that that prayer will be answered? Do you believe that God is going to really keep me because God gave me to Jesus? And he said, Father, I'm going to ask you to keep Lester Roloff now through thine own name. You reckon God will answer his prayer? I do. That's the reason he's going to keep me. That's the reason he's kept me through all these dangers, toils, and snares. I wish I could say again and remind you that you're immortal. I said you're immortal. I know you're mortal now. Until you get in the will of God, until you get saved. You're mortal, even though you have an immortal soul, but you become in value immortal after Jesus saves you and you get in the will of God until you finish the work of the Lord. Do you believe that? In other words, God's got a job for you to do. And as long as you're in His will, you're immortal until that will has been finished. Jesus was immortal down here, even though He was human. He was divine, but he was human, but he was immortal. They tried to kill him, they couldn't. Why, one day, they decided that they're going to throw him over a big cliff. He just walked through the midst of them. I imagine, said, good morning, fellas, I'll be seeing you later. And they couldn't move. They couldn't do one thing. I read again where, when Jesus was resurrected, and he stood forth, and they came out to where he was, and they were just going to come and do what they could, and Jesus said, no, this was just before he was crucified, even before he hung on the cross, and Jesus said, what are you looking for? Well, I said, we're looking for Jesus. I guess he had the blindfolds on him. They couldn't recognize him. And Jesus said, you're looking for Jesus? They said, yeah, we're looking for him. And Jesus said, I am he. And the Bible said, they all went backwards. He threw them all in reverse. Why? With his word. They couldn't do a thing about it. I mean, God, I think God just wanted to demonstrate his power a little bit. And Jesus just stood there and said, I'm he. And they all went back. Just like when Jesus came up out of the grave and those soldiers, 16 of them, 16 quartering of soldiers, with the swords hanging on them and the spears and with their weapons and their uniforms and representing Rome, the most powerful nation on earth. And Jesus got up out of the grave, raised by the blood of the everlasting covenant on the third morning. And they saw this seal begin to crack. And Jesus stepped forth. The Bible said the men had a stroke. They couldn't do one thing. They saw Jesus come out of the grave. Can't you reckon how Jesus looked when he came out of the grave? You think he's real sad? Don't you think he had maybe a lovely smile? And he came by the men, 16 Roman soldiers, and said, good morning, fellas. Nice to see you this morning. And walked on. And there they were. Bible said they couldn't do one thing. Not a one of them could reach for his sword. And Jesus went on. You believe that God's going to answer his son's prayer about your life? He said, I'm going to pray that you will keep them through thy name that you've given me. I want you to keep them. Now, if you really believe that, what would you have left to worry about? Be thou there, he said, till I bring thee word. And let God, I tell you, isn't it sad, see little old girls leave on a false sense of security. Knowing they're never going to make it. Never going to make it because they don't have enough of the word of God. in their life and in their heart. All right, that's not all he said. He said, I'm going to ask you that you keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Now then, the next prayer, that they may be one as we are. You think the Father and the Son ever had an argument? You think they ever had a falling out? No, sir. You believe that God the Father, when he saw the world lost in sin, he said to Jesus, Son, I'm going to make you run an errand. I'm going to send you, I'm going to toss you off into that wicked world, whether you want to go or don't want to go. No, he didn't say that. You know what Jesus said one day? I delight, as it's written in the Bible of the book, to do thy will, O God. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass me, but not as I will, but he said, as thou wilt, I want to do. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he didn't. That wouldn't give Jesus any great satisfaction. I'd have made him a warmonger. I'd have made him a potentate and a ruler and a dictator, but it wouldn't have sounded like my Savior, would it? But he said, why, I'm willing to die that the people who are using the hammer might have an opportunity to be saved. So it'll be interesting, won't it, when we get to heaven to see how many people that were there at the crucifixion will be there. You remember what he prayed? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Reckon how many of those are going to be saved? Reckon how many of them got saved on Pentecost? 3,000 got saved. Don't you imagine some of those people up there on Hill of Calvary that day that said, well, I understand it. He got up. I know they crucified him. In fact, some of them said, I know that I drove the hammer right through his hand, but I'm going down there and see what's going on that hill of Pentecost. Who knows but what there'll be a bunch of those fellows he prayed for saved and in heaven. Don't you know Jesus will be glad to see them? I know this. I've seen some of my rankest enemies saved. They're so sweet. I mean, don't you like to get a letter like that? I mean, sometimes you wait a long time. You wonder if they'll ever. But there's not a lot you can do about it. And remember this. The postman will never get the mail delivered if he has to stop and fight and kick at every fast dog that bites at him. I went to Houston when first went to Houston. You know, there's one church there that always wanted to debate every preacher that came. I was past the Magnolia Bank Baptist Church, and sure enough, I got the official letter in the mail. I'd like to meet you for a debate. In other words, he put it so straight, if you're not a coward, and if you think you know anything, meet me. We're going to have a public debate. Remember, they had one public debate down there. A man got so excited, fell dead, had a heart attack. Right there in Houston. I wasn't afraid of having a heart attack particularly, but I just, you remember the little story that I've told? You remember the story of the polecat and the lion? The polecat said to the lion, I'd like to fight with you. The lion said, I don't believe I care to fight with you. Polecat said, you're a coward, that's reading. Lion said, no. I'm not a coward. Said, you think you can't whip me? That's what you're afraid. You know I'm going to whip you. Don't know. He said, no. He said, I'd whip you. Fact is, I could kill you, but it'd take me so long to get the smell off. Wouldn't God's people be a lot better off if they just go ahead and with well-doing put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? We have no right to be fighting all the time between one another. Why, the Bible said the battle is the Lord's. If you spend all your time taking up for yourself, you won't have any left to take up for Jesus. Amen. That's the truth. And you little old girls out here, if you want to run to Granny and say, somebody said something about me. Well, who cares? Why don't you just pray? If you'd spend the time that it takes you from going to your room to the office to tell on somebody, if you'd just get out and pray about it, you'd come out a lot better. Listen, tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. He'll take care of your problems. Learn how to stand on your own two feet. If you're saved, you can talk to him. You can have an audience with the king. Listen, what if I came out here some night? Come on now. What if I came out some night and would be all aglow And I'd say, something good happened. Oh, has it happened? I guess it has. It's tremendous. Said, I had a conversation. I said, with who? President. I said, really? You don't mean it? Oh, yes. Said he called me personally. And he said he want me to get my songs copyrighted and printed and send me. And he wanted to record me in Houston and send all of my special songs to the president. He's going to play them to the White House. Huh? Well, that might be exciting, but think about it. Think about it. The father called her up. He's the one who gave her the songs. I mean, President, he wouldn't know how to give you a song, but the Heavenly Father gave you the song, you see. Why don't we get excited about things like that? I mean, why don't God's people spend some time with Him? We want so many earthly contacts. And oh, listen. Well, let me read on. He said that there may be one as we are. All right. Did you know we're all going to be one of these days? There won't be any diversities, and there won't be any differences. I'll be glad when that comes. You know there's not going to be any Baptists in heaven? There won't be one Catholic in heaven, not a one. Won't be no Presbyterians. Yes, sir. I had a preacher friend one time. He came to me and said, I had a strange dream last night. He said, I dreamed that I went to heaven. And he said, everybody's coming, the denomination's coming in, and said, the Lord gave me the job and gave me a big pair of shears. And he said, now I want you to stand at the gate, and as they come in, clip the tag. Just pew, clip the tag. Baptists come in, pew, I went to Baptist tag. And Catholics, and ain't no Catholics going to be there unless they trust in Jesus. Ain't no Baptist going to be there. I wish I could warn you. Trust in Mary and trust in the church and baptism. You better put your trust in Jesus if you want to go to heaven. Just think. You say, well, what are we going to be when we get there, Christians? That's all we'll have, just Christians. Now, it won't be a thing in heaven but Christians. Can you imagine walking through millions and millions of people and they don't need saying, are you a Christian? Well, of course, what do you think I'm doing here? You know. Hey, think about going for all eternity and never asking anybody if they're saved because everything you meet's saved. Boy, that'll be the city, won't it? That'll be the time. Just think, everybody's saved. Have a big mansion to live in and no locks on the door. No mosquitoes. No planes flying over you, spraying death on you. Think about that. I guarantee you, we got a better day ahead. We got a great day ahead. Yes, sir. Well, he said, I want you to keep them, but I want you to make them one. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, I believe the Lord gave me something. Jesus said, while I was in the world, I kept everyone you gave to me except one, and he was the son of perdition. And you know what that is, don't you? He's the devil's kid. That's old Judas. You know the people that Jesus, and I say this reverently, you know the people that Jesus cannot keep are those that have not been committed. If you have not committed your faith to Christ, he's not going to keep you. But he said, and this is sweet to me, Jesus said, now, Father, and he's having a talk, final talk, one of the last talks he'd ever had with the Father from down here, up yonder. And he said, now, you know, and he said, now, I'm no more in the world. I'm no more in the world. He'd already passed up the cross even though he hadn't been nailed. But he's already thinking in terms of his heavenly home and his intercessory ministry. And he said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now I'm concerned about these. They've got to stay and I've got to go. Now, he said, I've kept every one of them except one. I've just lost one and he wasn't mine. He never was saved. You'd never convince me Judas ever saved. He never did act like a saved man. All he's interested in is the money. I believe anybody interested in as much as Judas was in money, I believe you're lost. I believe anybody that sell Jesus Christ an old rugged cross for about $15, $18, I believe that old boy's lost. Amen. And now then, you'd say, but Jesus is not in the world. All right, I knew you was going to say that. You'd say, Jesus has gone home. Here we are in the world. I know. I thought you'd say that. But now what about the 16th chapter of John when he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Another comforter. That means one's going to be like me. Now, I believe in the Holy Spirit keeping me just as much as I do Jesus keeping those when he was here. I tell you why. The Holy Spirit is in every saint, every person's been saved, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus had to keep his by remote control. You say, what do you mean? He wasn't inside them like the Holy Spirit's inside us now. And he didn't have the word, they didn't have the word of God then. They had no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no Acts of the Apostles or Acts of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the book of Romans. They didn't have the letters to the churches. They didn't have the book of Revelation, the book of Hebrews. And Jesus said, Father, I kept every one of them while I was in the world. Not one of them's lost. Now then, do you believe that the Holy Spirit has less power than Jesus? I tell you, this ought to make Christians happy. When we think about the Holy Spirit's in this world, and he's here to keep us. He's here to keep us. And you think the Holy Spirit would stand or would be inside me and all of a sudden just say, I'm leaving you. And far as I'm concerned, you can just go straight to hell. I'm through with you. I don't believe that about the Holy Spirit. He's that other comforter. Oh, you better get this. This'll put you to sleep at night. This'll wake you up shouting in the morning. I mean, just to know that the Holy Spirit is in us and he's got the Word of God to hold on to us with and then to feed us and to nourish us. And so he's praying for us, and we're not through yet. He said, now I come to the end. These things I speak in the world that they might have my joy. All right. Is he going to get his prayer answered? Am I supposed to have joy? Can I have that joy? He said, I'm going to pray, Lord, that they'll have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I want them to have my joy. Happiest man ever lived was Jesus. No man ever lived as happy as Jesus. I've given him thy word, and the world just fell in love with him. No, it didn't either. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You know why the world doesn't love us? It's because the word gets in us and makes us heavenly, and they're earthly, and so the world hates that which is heavenly. Now, it doesn't mean we hate them, but they hate us, and they're supposed to. Don't get alarmed about it. He said, because I've given them thy word, the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world anymore. The word's the thing that'll keep you from being like the world. That's what'll make you put on a dress. That's what'll make you ladies look like ladies. That's what'll make you men be like gentlemen, and all of us conduct ourselves as Christians. The Word of God will make us do it. And I tell you, the Word of God will convict us of our sin. We'll never live a happy day living in sin after we've been saved. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, just take the world out of them. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. You know what sanctification means? It means just be separated and dedicated and consecrated and living like Jesus. That's what it means. Verse 18, as thou sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. There we go, right back in the world to tell the sweet story. Just like he was sent, he said, I'm sending you. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I believe that has a lesson for us. That's reading the girls here and Brother Olaf and all the leaders. We need to sanctify ourselves for those little girls and boys that are coming in here. We need to be sanctified when they get here so that they can see something in us. You know, the biggest enemy of the home, it's a little girl that will not live consistently while she's here after she claims to be a Christian. Granny, that's it. Now, the biggest enemy that could ever be to the girls' home would be a compromising Lester Olaf. I mean, this thing would shatter and fall if I just said, oh, it don't make a lot of difference. Let's forget the rules and regulations and all the standards. I mean, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of battling the welfare department and the city and the state and everybody else. And so just off with it. I mean, let's be done with it. We're going to live like everybody else, and we're going to let the state support us. I'm tired of carrying this old financial load, going across this country trying to raise money. I'm through with it. I'm just going to let the world support us, and we'll live like the world. Why, dear friends, I'd rather have 1,000 funerals for me than that to ever come to pass. If I know my heart, I'd rather fall from that airplane than that for it to ever happen. How could we help little girls if we offered them nothing but the world? And Jesus is praying for one thing, and I believe his prayer is going to be answered, and that is for our sanctification. And I'll never be satisfied to be less than what I preach and less than what the Bible says I ought to be. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou sent me in the world, even so also have I sent also them into the world for their sakes. To sanctify myself, they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Say, this is where I'm coming in. He's going to put my name down. Neither pray I for these alone, but for Lester Olof also. And, for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I've already believed through that word, and so he done prayed for me. Is that prayer going to be answered? Of course it's going to be answered. Why, he's already prayed for me. Why, he said, for God so loved the world that whosoever, that put me in that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how sweet the gospel is. Let's go on. But for all those that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be what? One. They all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I must stop now. You know, I read again in the chapter the other day when he said, now, when one member suffers, all suffer. Because we're all tied on. When that little finger there gets in trouble, you jerk that fingernail off right there and my big toe will holler for help. Why? It'll have to suffer because it's a member of the same body. That pain will go all over my whole body. I mean, listen, that little finger will send out SOS to every member of the body. And everything about me will hurt. It'll send a message to the brain, and the brain will send out a message covering my entire body. We're in trouble. We're suffering. And that's where it ought to be with Christians, you know that? That's where you little girls ought to be. When one little girl falls under a load and a burden and sorrow comes and trouble comes and defeat comes, every one of you ought to sorrow with her. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way God's people ought to be. Members, one of another. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Let's hasten. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Whereabouts? In us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I'm closing with that one verse. Father, I'm praying for unity, not union. I read some statement somebody sent me, so sad and so tragic. There's such a move on now toward union instead of unity. You see, I'll have to preach on it later, but everything's got to get in the bundle stage before Jesus comes, and we're there now. The Bible said, talking about the tares, you remember? Said, who sowed these tares? Well, it said, an enemy came while y'all went to sleep. While men were asleep, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed the tares. Well, he said, now, as they looked over the field, they said, shall we go out and just pluck up the tares? And, oh, no. No, no. He said, gather them and bind them and put them in bundles. Put the tares in the bundles. And then we're going to take the wheat out and put it in the garner. And then you can burn the bundles. Oh, it's plain. We're living in the bundle stage. We got the denominational bundle. National Council of Churches bundle. We got the labor union bundle. Everybody's in the bundle. Nobody just dares to stand alone anymore. I mean, everything's in the bundle stage today. And I tell you, there's going to be a heap of bundle burning one of these days. But you can't burn the bundles until the wheat goes home. I won't be here for the burning. Neither will you if you're saved by the grace of God. Father, I pray that there might be one, that there might be one, that the world may believe.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled Revealing Christ in John's Gospel. Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2588, 2588. We would like to have the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around.
The special offer for the month of May is Lighthouse Memories, number 838. To help with shipping and handling, please send $12 for the CD and some of the songs, Looking for a City, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Will Soon Be Done, Amazing Grace, and of course, The Lighthouse. Now to receive the CD, send $12, and we accept credit cards, by the way, and you can call us toll free at 1-800-772-7507 or write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Again, the offer is Lighthouse Memories, offer number 838. The address again is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403, or use your credit card by dialing 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.